Is the quantum world linked to everyday life? History has produced more than its fair share of monsters. And when we think about them, we wonder how they could live with themselves. Not just millions, but tens of millions of people perished as a result of the actions of Hitler, Stalin, and Chairman Mao. It's chilling to see the home movies of Hitler playing with little children, taking time off from being a monster to assume the part of a smiling uncle. Why didn't guilt set in? One explanation traces back to an aspect of human psychology that's fairly common, called splitting, also known as black and white thinking. Splitting occurs when a person can't join the positive and negative sides of their personality. We all compartmentalize our psychology, keeping under wraps what we don't want other people to see. But splitting takes it to the extreme, allowing someone to be a monster and a nice person without the two sides ever meeting. When neighbors of serial killers invariably describe the murderer as normal and nice, this may be evidence of splitting. The price of living with monstrous deeds is to separate existence into two compartments that do not communicate. Splitting has a scientific side too, if we use the term metaphorically. As we've touched upon several times, Einstein's relativistic model is extremely accurate at describing how gravity works and the behavior of large objects in space-time, while quantum theory is equally precise in its description of how the other three fundamental forces work and the behavior of very small objects. The importance of this schism seems abstract. If you know how everything, large and small, behaves, isn't that the same as complete knowledge? The problem comes down to a simple fact that affects all of us. There is only one reality, not two. A person who has split off his monstrous side is still responsible for what the split-off part did. In court, the good side isn't let off while the bad side goes to jail. Physics has lived with its split for over a century, attempting to unify reality, but with limited success. This is a case in which ordinary people have a stake, because the way we live our lives depends on what we accept as real. It was inconceivable in the Middle Ages to live one's life while shutting out God. In an age of faith, nothing was more real than God, and excluding its reality, as it seemed, would be tantamount to delusion, a crime against nature, and surely lead to eternal damnation. Today we live our lives blithely without paying any attention to the quantum world, and no one is being accused of delusion or heresy. It seems innocuous to split off this most fundamental level of reality. But in this audiobook, we contend that reality is basically human, and that claim doesn't hold water if the quantum world is excluded. It's precisely quantum behavior that matters the most. Here's a prime example. In the game of Scrabble, you look at your letter tiles, and you have A, O, R, S, 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 U, U, which looks pretty hopeless. Then you notice that another player has put the word all on the board. With a triumphant cry and a slightly pitying smile, you can now use all of your tiles to make Allosaurus and earn a whopping bonus. At first glance, this little victory has nothing to do with the split between relativity and quantum mechanics. But in fact, you have been inhabiting both worlds the whole time you played Scrabble. Shuffling letters around to make words is a large object activity. You have to assemble the right pieces to make sense of scrambled letters. Yet your brain doesn't go through this procedure when you are choosing which word to speak. Mentally, you pluck the word you want to say, and the brain delivers it. There is no searching among alphabet letters. For every word in your vocabulary, the spelling, meaning, and sound are fused into one concept, not assembled from scattered parts. In general, your brain forms connections between billions of neurons, often in widely separated regions of the brain. What's mysterious is how these connections can operate, instantaneously and without any visible communication. The processing speed of neurons can be measured, but that's a different issue from how scattered clumps of neurons know to join an activity where teamwork is demanded, as opposed to sending a specific signal down a series of neurons connected like a telephone line. The various patterns needed to coordinate movement, speech, and decision-making pop into place automatically. Thus, when you see your mother's face, it comes to mind as a face you recognize, not random noses, eyes, and ears that must be examined individually. This looks like something akin to quantum behavior, if nothing else, because cause and effect don't proceed one step at a time. If your mind had to proceed in linear fashion, step by step, recognizing your mother's face would be like the following. Caller 1. Hi, cerebral cortex. This is the visual cortex. You left a message? Caller 2. Yeah, I want to see my mother's face. Can you help? Caller 1. Certainly. Hold on. Okay, I've retrieved some likely eyes. Let's start with those, because most people remember their mother's eyes pretty vividly. We'll get to the other parts once you pick the right eyes. Caller 2. Okay. Look, I'm on a schedule. How long is this going to take? The dialogue sounds comical when slowed down, but even if all the separate parts of your mother's face were being assembled at lightning speed, it wouldn't be instantaneous and holistic. Yet the brain produces the three-dimensional world instantaneously and holistically, exactly the way the quantum world produces large objects like mountains, trees, and everyone's mother. Leaving the quantum world out of your lifestyle is the same as leaving out your brain. No one does this in reality, of course, because the brain is an absolute essential every minute of our lives. What we do exclude is the connection to the quantum world. This has cosmic implications. For decades, a quip has circulated that's attributed to Sir Arthur Eddington. Not only is the universe stranger than we imagine, it is stranger than we can imagine. It turns out that the attribution was false. The actual speaker remains unknown, and the insight may be wrong too. The universe may precisely fit what we can imagine. Instead of a universe where particles, atoms, and molecules are mind-like, it seems more likely to us that the universal mind has a way of displaying and acting matter-like. The issue can't be settled until a new mystery is confronted. Is the quantum world linked to everyday life?